Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I'm interested in talking about. And one thing that I enjoy talking about and researching is the area of true crime, and in particular, mysteries. So I listen to some true crime podcasts and videos, though honestly, the way I get most of my information is by reading articles or transcripts of podcasts, because it's just more efficient for me to gather the information by reading than by listening. But if I want to relax, sometimes I'll put on a podcast or usually like a YouTube video talking about a true crime episode, but in particular, the mysteries, where we're not really sure what happened. So in today's episode, I want to talk about missing, mishap, or murder. When it comes to stories about individuals who are either missing, we don't know where they are, or we have discovered their bodies, but we don't know what happened to them. So that's what I want to talk about today. Though, so as a disclaimer, some of the details here might be a tad upsetting for individuals if you have children. I know sometimes people let their kids listen to my Free For All Friday. This might not be an episode for kids or people who don't want to hear disturbing details. Might not be an episode for you. Next week, I'm going to talk about literature, and Matthew, my six-year-old, is going to be the special guest. Maybe your kids could tune in for that one. But so that's just one thing I want to point out for the subject matter of today's episode. Also, I don't mean to make light at all of any of the tragic circumstances that befell these individuals. And we should always, anyone who is listening who is Catholic or Christian, who at least believes in God, should always offer up a prayer for the repose of the souls of the individuals who have met an untimely end, for their families, or to pray for the individuals who have gone missing and we simply don't know what has happened to them. But I find a lot of this to be fascinating, to have intellectual curiosity, but also if you can figure out what happened in these mysterious disappearances, sometimes that can serve as a benefit to others so other people don't tragically experience the same situation. If you can see, okay, what went wrong in this situation, then maybe it could help others not fall into the same situation. So that's what I want to talk about today. So let's begin. And these cases, by the way, you can find them on YouTube and true crime podcasts. So I'm going to give abbreviated descriptions of them. If you want to learn more about them, you can go search for them online. I might put a few resources in the description below to also point people into these directions. So here's the first one. This is the 2014 disappearance of Chris Kramers and Lizanne Froon. So these were two Dutch students. I think they had both graduated from university. And this is in 2014. They had traveled to Panama, where they wanted to learn Spanish, and they wanted to volunteer at a school to help children. So these were bright, outgoing, young female college graduates, university graduates, who went to Panama. And then on April 1st, 2014, that was the last time they were ever seen alive. They went hiking on a trail in Panama on what is called the Pianista Trail. So they went hiking up on this trail, and then they did not come back. There were some details that said that a dog that was owned by the hostel or hotel where they were staying at, the owner's dog went with them on the trail, came back without them, and that alerted people maybe something was wrong, though this detail could not later be confirmed. But the point is people realized that they didn't come back, and so people went out searching for them and couldn't find them. It seemed that they had just completely vanished. They went out, covered this, and this was a fairly easy trail. The Pianista Trail in Panama is often favored by tourists. So it's an easy hike up. You go up to a ridge, has a nice panoramic view. People come back. It's an easy day hike. And Kramers and Froon had only packed a small day hike bag to go with them. They weren't planning to go on an overnight hike in the jungle or anything like that. So they weren't found. Then about, I think it was about 10 days later, well, no, actually, sorry, 10 weeks later, it was several weeks later that one of the girls' backpacks had been discovered. And the backpack had about $83 in cash, one passport, folded up shorts, their bras that had been folded up, and it had their phones and the digital camera that they took with them. That's what makes this case very interesting, is that searchers were able to recover this bag that had their phones and had their camera. And then a few months more had gone by, and some of their bone fragments were discovered on a river several miles away in the jungle. So bone fragments have been found scattered along the river, identified with the DNA to both girls. So while their entire bodies were not found, portions of their skeletal remains were found, which allowed investigators to conclude that they had died. So you see, they were attempting to make calls for help. None of them went through. One might have gone through, only connected for 2 seconds. That hasn't been confirmed. So then after that, they were probably trying to conserve their phone battery charge. And the phones recorded, they were turned on each day at about around 10:30, and then to check for a signal, then turned off, then turned back on again at around 1:30 in the afternoon to get a signal. But what really makes it interesting is the digital camera with them. Those photos were recovered from this bag that local members of an indigenous tribe found Kramer's and Frunze's bag. And the camera had, I think, about 90 photos on it. The first few photos shows the girls just on a regular hike. You know, it just seems like everything is fine. Then there is another photo that's taken later in the afternoon showing them walking on what seems like more of a deserted trail or going off the main trail. And one of the girls has a look on her face. People have said that maybe she was afraid, or at the very least, she just doesn't seem amused. And then after that, the pictures get very strange. After that, the pictures that are dated were believed to have taken place around April 8th. So this would have been about a week later. And these were all pictures that were taken at night, sometime between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. And they're all very random. They just show the surrounding landscape, some trash on the ground, a mirror that had been put out. One of them appears to show the back of Kramer's head with possibly blood from an injury. So why were all of these pictures taken about a week later? Why did the girls take the pictures? Did the girls take the pictures? Was it somebody else? Is this just a case of the girls getting lost in the jungle? Or is there foul play that's involved? And then here's where it gets really weird on all the pictures in the camera that was discovered. One of the pictures is missing. So the first few, the pictures are all numbered. Like when you have a digital camera, usually it says IMG 101, 102, 103. And the camera just gives this basic placeholder of a file name, and then you can rename it later. So it's like IMG 498, 499, 500, 507, 508. The first few pictures are just the regular hike. Then from pictures 510 onwards, it's all these pictures in the dark, and you're wondering what's going on here. The picture number 509 was missing from the camera. Someone had gone back in and deleted that photo. And so the big mystery here is, well, what was on that photo and who would go back and delete it and why? Because if one of the girls had just taken a picture and didn't like it and then just deleted it and took another picture, it would have gotten that placeholder. Someone went back in and deleted 509, and we don't know why. If it was the girls who did it and went and deleted the photo, usually forensics experts could still find traces of the photo on the memory card. So that's led some people to believe that the Panamanian authorities or someone who was there maybe, hooked up a computer to the camera and deleted that one picture. But why is that picture missing? Or was it just a glitch with the camera? We don't know. Sorry, so I've given you all the facts here. What happened to these girls? Now, the most prominent theory, there isn't an official theory, but the most, at least from the investigators that are involved, and to me, I lean pretty heavily towards this theory, is that the girls simply got lost in the jungle. That what happened is they went for a hike. Maybe they wanted to find a waterfall that was nearby, that was a local tourist spot. And so you see in the pictures of where they're hiking down, and one of the girls looks back at the camera. Some people have said that she was scared of someone else who had their camera, who was taking a picture. I don't think that's the case. She might have just been not very amused, like, hey, we shouldn't be going into the jungle this deep. I don't like this. And the other girl says, oh, it's fine. You know, don't worry about it. We'll just go down a little bit. They'll make our way back to the trail. And then they get lost. And it's super easy to get turned around in the jungle, lose your way, and then start walking. And so they made an emergency call the first day around 4 o'clock, didn't connect through. They spent the night in the jungle. And maybe they stay in that one place hoping they'll be rescued. But odds are, since no one came and they didn't tell anybody where they went, they might have just started walking. Now, people started looking for them within a few days. But I said this in a previous podcast. If you ever get lost in the jungle, in the desert, doesn't matter where, if you get lost, stay put. If you keep moving, people have to follow in that direction to try to find you, and it's going to make it harder to find you. So what happened is they might have just continued moving, and then what could have happened then is that one of the girls got injured. There are very steep cliffs next to the Pianista Trail, or they tried to cross a river across a cable bridge. There are these cable bridges. It's like walking on a tightrope, literally, to get across. One of them might have fallen and gotten hurt. The other girl stays with her. Days go by. They try to get help, and the other girl goes to get help, or that girl died and succumbed to her injuries, whether it was Kramer or Froon's, and then she continues to go on. But what about the pictures that were taken at night? What's the deal with that? Well, let's say it was either Kramer's or Froon. You know, let's say it was Kramer's, you know, went on. Maybe she was using the flash from the camera to try and scare away an animal during the night, or she was trying to illuminate a path to find her way. The pictures seem to show there was rain. She might have been by a river, and then she took pictures to see where she was to get away from the rising water. We don't know. So, and then eventually she might have put everything in her bag, thrown her bag across a river to try to cross it, and then got swept away by the river. The bag remained on the other side dry, and then it was discovered by local tribe people. So that would be the missing slash mishap theory. The other people have said maybe foul play was involved. They tried to connect it to other disappearances in the area, that if there was foul play, if someone murdered them, they took the bag and deleted one of the incriminating photos. Though if they did that, you think they would have sold the passport and the money. You know, they would have taken the phones. You think they would have gotten rid of the evidence or sold different things. It's also possible some members of the indigenous tribe, maybe the girls are already dead and somebody found the phone and was in the camera and were just taking pictures, and it wasn't actually the girls at all. So I lean towards this was a mishap in the jungle. Though there's some things that perplex me, that if you were lost and you have recording devices, many people who find themselves in a situation where they're going to be lost and think they're going to die, it's very common people leave goodbye messages to friends and family. They could have put a note on their phones, recorded a voicemail. Their camera, the digital camera, had a video function, so they could have recorded a goodbye message. It's very strange that they didn't do that, but perhaps that maybe they just panicked in the situation so overwhelming they didn't really come to contemplate this was truly the end until the end was reached. And so it's certainly tragic, but a lesson we learned here is if you go hiking somewhere, let people know where you're going, and if you get lost, stay put. And you know, just trust your gut in that regard. So that's the disappearance of Chris Kramer's Lizanne Froon in 2014. Another one that is mysterious is the disappearance of Stacy Aris in 1981 in Yosemite National Park. So Aris was a 14-year-old girl, went with her dad and a group of other people to Yosemite. They were out horseback riding. I think they were by the Sunset Meadow field. And she went and then walked along with another member of the group, this older gentleman. He's about 70 years old. She went and she wanted to go take some pictures at a lake or a river. They're not sure where. And so he kind of went with her. Other people in the group saw this. And then he got tired and sat on a rock and told Stacy she could go on ahead. You know, she was a bright and healthy 14-year-old girl, and she kind of walked ahead. And either it would have just been a few hundred yards to get to the river or about a mile and a half trail on open ground to go to the lake to take pictures. And then she didn't come back after a short amount of time. And people immediately started looking for her. They sent out a search party to cover, I think, 3 to 5 square miles. The lake she was going to take a picture at was nearby. It was a flat trail. The odds of her getting lost are low, but not impossible. And that was it. The only thing that was ever found was the lens from her camera. It was found in some brush nearby in the forested area. People saw her enter the wooded area before getting to the lake. In that area, they found the dropped lens cap. What happened to her? In this situation, I lean towards murder, or at least abduction. I think that this girl, the odds of her getting lost are very low. But if she did get lost, one would imagine that within the search, she would have been found. Her body would have been found at some point. It was right nearby. I mean, it's possible still, but you would think she would have been found. People went looking for her immediately, and the odds of her getting lost in that area, and she was capable of navigating around. She wasn't a tracker or anything. That seems low. Other people have proposed maybe she was killed by a bear, like a black bear. But fatal bear attacks are very, very rare in the national parks. And if that had happened, you would think people would have heard screaming. You would think her body would have been discovered, or at the very least torn clothing or body parts. I lean towards the view, and some people propose that she just ran away. She was having problems with her boyfriend and her family. But to just leave, she didn't even have good hiking apparel on. She just had some flip-flops, I think. I don't buy into that theory either. I think it's possible she ran across someone on the trail. He might have threatened her with a weapon, perhaps, and told her to come with him, killed her, and then took the body and disposed of it somewhere and no one's seen it. Or she left with him to a vehicle and then he killed her. So that's where I lean towards. I mean, it's not 100%, but I think it makes sense of all the facts that are involved and how she seemed to vanish so quickly. So that was Stacey Aris, 1981, Yosemite. Lesson to be learned there. And these are similar cases where people disappear. If someone, and especially this would be advice to older teens or women who might be watching this who are more likely to be victims of abduction, but men too. Never, ever allow an assailant to take you to a second location. Never, ever do it. If someone pulls a knife on you or a gun and says, get in my car, don't do it. Absolutely never do that. If someone threatens you, says, I'm going to kill you unless you come with me, don't do it. Because at least if you're in a parking lot or if you're on a trail or wherever you are is safe. Wherever you are with this individual who wants to hurt you, you are safer there than at the secondary location the perpetrator wants to take you to. Because think about it, where does this person want to take you to? Not somewhere with witnesses, not somewhere with people who can help you, somewhere where he has complete control over the situation and can harm you or can kill you. So never, ever, this may save your life. Even if he shoots or stabs you, fine. At least you're nearby other people who might be able to help you. Never, ever, ever get in a vehicle or go with a perpetrator to a secondary location. Your odds of surviving that encounter are very, very low. So that's a lesson to be learned from there. All right. Here's the next one. Now, a lot of these women, a lot of the people who disappear are women, but it's not necessarily women who disappear. And this one is even really mysterious. This is what it's. He's been called like one of the most famous missing people on YouTube because everyone's been trying to look for him because the footage of his disappearance is available. It's very strange. So this is the case of Lars Mittank. Lars is a German man, young German man with friends. He had traveled to the Golden Sands Resort in Bulgaria. And so I think it's in Bulgaria. At least he disappeared in Bulgaria. So he was traveling there with friends. And what happened was that he got involved in a fight with somebody at a restaurant. He suffered a head injury. And then a doctor prescribed him some antibiotics, I think for an ear infection from his head injury. The doctor then later said he wouldn't be healthy to fly. So his friends went home without him. He stayed an extra day. Then people noticed weird things were happening to him, that like he was acting kind of strange at the hotel. And then he went to the airport. And so he walks, and there's CCTV footage of this. He walks into the airport. He goes and visits the airport doctor to be cleared for a flight, to be able to go on the flight. He seems nervous. And then a construction worker enters the airport office and he gets really fidgety and he says under his breath, I don't want to die here. And he leaves his bag, he leaves his passport, and he runs out of the airport doctor's office, runs out of the airport, runs down the street, hops over a fence. This was outside of Varna Airport in Varna, Bulgaria. Jumps over the fence, runs into a field, and he is never seen again. No body has been found. Some people have claimed to have seen him in different places, but none of those sightings have been substantiated. He just disappeared. What happened to Lars Mittank? And there's different theories here. So I'll go in the order of the theories least to most probable. Though I understand the least probable theories. One would be that this is murder, that he was claiming people were out to get him, they wanted to kill him, and this theory says people did try to kill him, that either Mittank was involved in illegal activities, and so a deal wasn't done yet, or his friends bailed on it, and he failed to take part in the illegal activities, or the people he got in a fight with at the bar were bad criminal elements, maybe they were gangsters, and they set out to find him to fatally even the score, and were seeking after him, and that even when he went to the airport, the construction worker that went to the doctor's office was one of the men who was trying to kill him, and he just fled from the scene, and fled. And then later, these criminal elements caught up with him, killed him. That's the end of the story. So that's least probable for me, but it's not crazy. I mean, that's, I can see where he's going here, but it's just interesting that, like, he doesn't contact the police. Maybe he's worried the police are in on it. I don't know. It seems sort of paranoid and delusional. I mean, it's possible, but I have that as a lower possibility. A higher possibility for me is that Mittank suffered some kind of psychotic episode. He had some kind of onset of paranoid schizophrenia or some kind of delusionary syndrome. Could have been exacerbated by the head injury that he received in the bar fight. There's disputes about whether he got that prescription filled. I don't think he got the prescription for the antibiotic filled, but if somehow he did or he had it, that could have caused some kind of psychological episode to combine with his injury. It seems the way he's acting, and because he was also acting very strange at the hotel, I think that kind of fits into it. Now, I will say this, that the murder theory more neatly accounts for what happened to Mittank's body, that he was killed and disposed of. But it's a little ad hoc because we don't have any other evidence of Mittank being involved in a criminal enterprise or other people stalking him or trying to find him. It seems more like when you look at it, this is a disturbed individual who has some kind of onset of a paranoid schizophrenic episode, and then he just flees. Maybe he went into the fields or a wooded area and was hiding from people, died of dehydration or a further injury, and his body later decomposed. I mean, you would think maybe someone would find it, but who knows? If he was in a very rural area that people don't normally go to, or an undeveloped area in Bulgaria, maybe his body wouldn't be found to be eaten by animals, discarded. We don't know. So that is the case of Lars Mittank for you to go and check out. The last two I have on here, really, it's more mishap or murder. They're not missing. We know where the body is. So Stacey Aris and Lars Mittank, their bodies were never recovered. So we don't. So that adds more to the mystery. Pieces of Kramer's and Froon were discovered, so we can conclude that they died. The next two, the bodies were found. The question is, was it a mishap? Was it an accidental death? Or was it a murder? And what makes the next two interesting is that there's a very common element between the two, in that you have CCTV footage of a young female individual acting erratically and then dying from an implausible accident within a hotel. So it's very common, interesting common element between these two. The first one definitely seems more like an accident to me. The second one is a tad bit up in the air, but let's go through each one. The first one is the case of Kenneka Jenkins. So she was found in September of 2017. She was on September 8th, 2017. Jenkins was attending a party at the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont, Illinois. So she was at this party. There were other underage people there. There was drinking. There was some drug use. And the CCTV cameras show her in what appears to be an intoxicated state, walking through the halls of the hotel, bumping into walls, bumping into stairwells, and then wandering into the hotel kitchen that had been closed off because of renovation, refurbishment. But the walk-in freezer was still open. Several days later, Jenkins' body was found in the walk-in freezer. And the medical examiner said the death was accidental. It said that there was alcohol and topiramate in her system, which might have hastened hypothermia, led to impaired judgment. Her family and friends, they criticized the hotel's response and the police, and then sued the hotel for allowing the freezer to be so accessible. I think the suit was eventually dismissed, that the hotel couldn't be held liable for that. But the CCTV camera shows her entering the kitchen. It doesn't show her entering the freezer. So some people have said she wouldn't have been able to find her way into that freezer. Somebody must have opened the door and then locked her inside. The freezer itself did not have a lock, but it did have a latch. So the freezer latched, and the latch could be open from the inside and the outside. It didn't have a lock on it. So what happened in this case, I think this is a tragic accident. I think that Jenkins was very intoxicated. She had a blood alcohol level above 1.0, I believe. So, and you've seen the footage, she could barely even walk in a straight line. She was probably walking all through the hotel. She opened what she thought was a door to a room. It turns out to be a walk-in freezer. It closes behind her. There was a circular white knob or like wheel, I think, to open the door from the inside. But in her intoxicated state, she might have had a hard time figuring out how to open the latch. and then succumbed to hypothermia inside the freezer. So very, very tragic. And so something to learn from the dangers of becoming intoxicated, of becoming overcome by drugs or alcohol. It can leave you very, very vulnerable, either to bad actors, people who might want to harm you, or just causing an accident and causing harm to yourself. So there's something to know there. This other case is similar. You'll see some of the similarities, but it's really creepy. This is probably one of the creepiest ones. And if you'd like to tag out now, if you're watching this on YouTube, you want to tag out now before it's not that creepy. I mean, it's not like, ooh, ghosts, but it's there's something about it when you watch the CCTV camera of this that's strange. This is the disappearance. Sorry, this is the case of Elisa Yam. I mean, she disappeared, but then she was later discovered. So here's what happened. On February 19th, 2013, some of the guests at the Cecil Hotel in downtown Los Angeles said that they had low water pressure and that there was like a black substance coming out of their water pipes. Oh, no. So the maintenance workers go up to the top of the hotel, look at the water tanks, and they find that in one of the water tanks, there is a dead body of a young woman floating face up in the water tank. So I would like my room charge refunded, please. And they've changed the name of the hotel because the hotel itself is creepy. Serial killers have stayed there during their sprees. Other people have committed suicide there. I forget what it's. Well, here, let me look it up right now. Cecil Hotel LA has been changed. The name is now the Stay On Main Hotel in downtown Los Angeles. 3.1 stars. Still better than some Motel 6s I've stayed at. 3.1 stars, 1,000 Google reviews. So Yam was staying there. The body they discovered was identified to be that of Elisa Lam. Her Cantonese name was Lam Ho Yi. And she was a student from the University of British Columbia. I think she was born in Hong Kong. And she was traveling to Southern California by herself to travel. She went to the San Diego Zoo, went to LA. She was staying at the Cecil Hotel. And I think she was staying in a shared room, so it was like a hostel, kind of. But her roommate said she was acting really weird, so she got moved to a private room. And what makes it weird is that, so they went back to investigate, and you look at the CCTV footage on the night she disappeared, on February 19th. And there's a lot of footage of her walking around the hotel, and she looks frightened. She looks like she's worried someone's following her. She goes into elevators and peers out. Hops in, hops out, and she's wandering around the hotel, and it seems like she's worried somebody's looking at her or following her. So just watching this grainy CCTV footage and knowing what ends up happening to her, that she's dead in the hotel water tank, has led some people to say that it was murder, that someone was following her in the hotel, was after her, killed her, and then put her in the water tank. And leading for the murder theory also is people would say, how could she end up in the water tank? The door to the top of the hotel had an alarm on it. If she had opened it, she would have triggered the alarm. It was very hard to get into the water tank. They had to bring in a special crew to get her out of the water tank. How did she get into it? Someone must have killed her and put her in there. So those is the evidence for the murder theory. But for me, I lean 60-40 towards accident theory. I think Lam had been previously identified as having bipolar disorder and clinical depression. She was taking some medication for that, but I think the medication in her system, there wasn't a lot of medication in her system from the autopsy. So I think what might have happened is that she wasn't taking her medication. Her bipolar disorder got the better of her, and she had a paranoid delusion walking around the hotel, thinking someone was after her. I think later investigators showed that you could access the roof from the external fire escape, and so there are windows that could be open. You could climb up the fire escape to get to the roof. Some maintenance workers have said that the hatch to the water tank was sometimes left open, and that when they went and discovered it, it was open. So she might have been trying to hide from someone, got into the water tank, might have ended up suffering from hypothermia, and or just ended up drowning in the water tank for one reason or another. So I think that I lean towards that theory, but it's footage I don't like. I mean, I don't like watching footage of anyone who's about to meet their end. It's unfortunate, but this gives off a certain creepy vibe to it. So, well, there you have it. That's missing mishaps or murder. Maybe you disagree with some of my conclusions, some of these cases. Maybe there's other cases you'd like me to cover. There's other cases I thought about covering for this episode, maybe we'll cover it for a future one. So great. Well, thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed week.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.